Coming up, Sunday Nights with the Cuz. We're going to talk some football next. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Nissan SUV. It's good to stay up to date. I mean, we've seen this in basketball. We've seen it in football. We've seen it in baseball. Once the stats started taking off in the 2000s, everybody had to figure that out. Then I remember in basketball, first it was three-pointers. Then it was defensive stats. You just got to keep moving. You got to keep evolving. You got to keep going. Now it's pace and threes. What's it going to be next, big guys? That's why the 2024 Nissan Rogue has Google built right into its 12.3-inch touchscreen infotainment system. With Google Maps, Assistant, and more, you can stay up to date on everything that's ahead without even needing to connect your phone. Find your next adventure with the Nissan SUV. Learn more about the Rogue, Pathfinder, and Armada SUVs at NissanUSA.com. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, where if you missed it, we did the big NBA preview podcast with me and Russell in house last week. We put all of it on YouTube. The entire podcast is on there. All you have to do is go to YouTube.com/Bill Simmons. We put a lot of video up there. We might start putting up full podcasts on there a little bit after they run here. So stay tuned for that. I don't know. We're messing around. Just trying stuff. It's the end of 2023. You know? I don't know. You just start trying things. Why not? Who cares? Hey, new rewatchables come in Monday night. I'll just tell you what it is. It's a movie from 1993. Yeah, another one. Another one that did really well in the box office. So you'll find out Monday night. It's a good one, though. I'm excited to drop it on you. So we did that true crime podcast, Wedding Scammer, hosted and created by Justin Sales. And it did really well. People liked it. And it makes me super happy because Justin Sales is a great guy. And he's been with The Ringer pretty much since the beginning. But it's nice when somebody works their ass off on something and it actually pays off. So I'm glad people like it. Check out the first episode. It's not that long. It's really well done. And you will definitely 100% enjoy it. Okay. Let's bring in the Cuz. Let's talk some football. Let's talk some wound licking with some bets, some Eagles, all kinds of things. It's all next. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam! All right, we are taping this. It is 8:30 Pacific time on Sunday night. Cousin Sal is here, as always. He's wearing a nice, fresh Oregon hat that I think you probably bought probably this weekend. You went to visit your son?
Smells very new. Yeah, I went to visit my son. I'm not happy with the way my hair looks, and I think the hat's an improvement. So what am I going to do?
Looks great. We watched Dolphins-Eagles just now, and at the same time, Rangers-Astros was happening. And it really felt like, I don't know, it felt like a great October sports night there. And then Texas blew it open in the end. But next week, we'll have basketball. There will be baseball going on. Well, it'll really feel like October. The Eagles, though. So right as I start sending texts to Eagles people in my life, wondering what's going on with Hurts and what's going on with this team, and then they just turn it on and they win by 14. It's weird. Eye test-wise versus the stats and just looking at the standings and stuff, it's a team that doesn't seem like they have all their shit together, and yet it doesn't matter because they have so much talent. They can just kind of pick and choose, and then all of a sudden they win anyway. I don't know what other team in the NFL is like this. Do you see that too?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bummer because I think you agree. The Dolphins are, I don't know, favorite team to watch if you have to cut everything else out, right? Best offense, so much going on, like dynamic, Tyreek Hill, anything, Tua. But when they play a game like this, when they go to Buffalo, they're just going to get beat in the trenches. And like what you said is, it doesn't really matter. If you're so physical, Philadelphia, offensively or defensively, and like Tua's getting swallowed up in the pocket on third and ones, and where Philadelphia could just run that tush push, like it or not, it's going to move the chains every time. So yeah, it sucks. Yeah, the less flashy team wins, and they happen to be in my favorite team's division, but that's what's going to happen in January.
10 turnovers for Hurts. He had 8 of last year. There's times where, you know, like sometimes, and I don't know whether he's protecting his body or what's going on, but he'll kind of duck away from taking hits, which is smart. And then he'll have weird throws. And yeah. I texted Solak today during the third quarter. And I'm like, are we going to find out that Hurts has had like torn rib cartilage since week 2? Or, you know, he doesn't look right sometimes. And then in the fourth quarter, all of a sudden he looks great. And I don't really know what to make of it. And I can't get a feel for it. But on top of it, they have this tush push thing that in the big drive of the game, they're able to get 2 straight fourth and ones on their own side of the field. I know you and I have talked about it. You've talked about it incessantly. And at the same time, it feels like it is the most important NFL invention of the last 5 years, this play.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
Nobody can stop ever at any point.
If he does,
nobody else can do it.
I know. It's weird. And we likened it to the Tom Brady thing. There was no reason why Tom Brady should convert 4th and 1.5 every single time, you know, physically and everything else. But except they have their shit together, the Eagles. They really do. And if he does have cracked ribs, I hope it's from his own teammate smashing him over the line of scrimmage there.
Everybody, it was just wear and tear on the back of his body from 7 guys
touching me. Yeah. So they're performing the Heimlich on him like every 8 minutes. So.
I guess if you're taking the takeaway from the Eagles is nice win, they needed to have it. They're also supposed to win. But the A.J. Brown piece of it, the fact that they traded, you know, a first round pick basically, and then they paid him. And I don't know, is he one of the 4 best receivers in the league now? Is he one of the 3? He's somewhere on the shortest possible list. I have him on multiple fantasy teams, and it's gotten to the point where I'm just expecting 100 yards and a TD every game. But that turned out to be one of the better trades, I think, of the last 10 years. Just kind of took him from Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was ridiculous. And he is such a great possession receiver. And it's like, it's scary, too, because you'll forget about him, too. Like, you probably put Justin Jefferson in the top 3. And then every time Cousins drops back to pass or any snap, you're like, all right, this has to go to Jefferson. Otherwise, it's going to go for nothing in this out of this offense. And then 8 tush pushes in a row, and then you see AJ Brown's like, oh my God, I forgot about this guy. What? He's got 120 yards. It's nuts. So yeah, dynamite.
There's like 4 different kind of catches he can make too, which I think makes him stand out because they can throw those bubble screens with him. They can just put him right over the middle, like for 7-8 yards. It seems like whenever they want, they can send him deep down the sidelines, which he seems to love. And then that kind of deep over the middle with 2 guys on him, and he can make plays anyway. But he has, like, I think the biggest bag of any of the receivers right now. Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought you were getting personal. I don't know. Oh, I got it. I'm not in the locker room with these guys. Yeah. Yeah, I hate this team. I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, you know, the Miami had, 10 or 11 penalties? It's just like it's like a mind fuck, too, when you play him, too. You can't get out of your own way when you play against them.
Kyle, don't turn on the TikTok camera for this. Yeah, has Philly replaced Boston for most interesting sports city? Like, look at all the shit they have going right now.
Right.
Right? They're about to make the World Series. They have this Eagles team that made the Super Bowl last year, and it feels super relevant again and is definitely going to be a Final Four team, worst case scenario. And then they have this NBA team with this James Harden saga that God only knows how he's going to sabotage things over the next month. And then you look at my team, where I have we have a great NBA team, it looks like. And then other than that, completely forgettable across the board. I think Philly's kind of grabbed the mantle a little bit. I don't like it at all, Sal.
That's not good. And it's not good for their fans, because their fans are supposed to just hate the other team, not supposed to like their team. So it doesn't matter if their team's good, right? I don't know. It's a bummer. Although, I'll say that they were in this position last year too, right? Phillies win the World Series. Eagles win the Super Bowl. You got to win one of these.
This has been, this is the 2020s has kind of been the Philly decade. I don't like it. It's upsetting to me. And fortunately, the Sixers are, it seems like they're going to go in the tank. But I got to say, they have great crowds. Like the Phillies playoff crowds are way up there. That's about as good of a baseball crowd as you're going to get. It really feels like, if they can have like a do or die game or a must win game or a clincher at home, you feel like they're going to get it. And whatever happened with Bryce, you know, pretty special. Like to sign that guy from another team and he becomes the signature athlete in your city. We had a little bit of that with Manny Ramirez where we kind of took him from, we paid for it, but took him from Cleveland and he kind of became one of the symbols of that run. But pretty nuts that they just took him from another team and he became what he became.
Yeah, it's a great crowd. Whenever they, I mean, I thought the Rams crowd today was dynamite too against the Steelers. I thought they really showed up.
It's really loud. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been proud loud to crowd. Be from LA. Yeah.
I have a, I know you don't want to talk about Philly, so I'll move on. I have a Tyree question for you. What's your all-time receiver list for receivers you've watched? Just where you're like, that guy's fucking amazing. Because for me, it was always Rice number one and Moss two.
Yeah.
And then a drop off. And then some people would be like, T.O.'s three for me. I'm like, cool. T.O. is like an absolute franchise murderer and was a huge head case and you couldn't trust him. And as the years pass, the stats will be great. The all the fucking drama that he brought to every situation he's in, that stuff will kind of die off. But for me, I think Tyreek's unequivocally a three now for me. Every single game, it just you just feel like he's going to have 250 yards as you're watching it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, unstoppable. Tyreek over Calvin Johnson, that type.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think like where you would put him. Yeah.
For me, he's definitely over Calvin Johnson.
Michael Gallup is 3-4. I'm trying to see where I would put these people.
I think you're right.
I think he's got to be number three. Although if you look at like Antonio Brown, who's now a punchline, he had like six of the best seasons you'll ever see in a row. But in terms of presence and being unstoppable, Rice, Moss, Tyreek Hill. It's good three.
That's how I feel. I think, you know, Sharp, I think, could have gotten there in the Packers way back when in the 90s. And then, you know, he hurt his neck and he basically only had like a 6 or 7 year career. But I thought in the 90s, I thought other than Rice, he was the second best guy. Your guy, Irvin, was great. There's no question. That team was loaded. We've had some good ones over the years. But Tyreek, the speed, how he just tilts the field over and over again, how scared the other team is of him, how much space he opens up for everybody else. I think he's three. I don't think he'll ever get over Moss or Rice for me, though.
I'm trying to think who could pass him, though, now at three. I mean, we've put Justin Jefferson up there before. Now that we haven't seen him for a few weeks, we've kind of forgot about him.
Hill's done this now for, you know, six years since he was on the 18 Chiefs. I can't remember how many years he's been in the league.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
He'll be stride for stride with two defenders. And then, like, if the ball hangs up there long enough, he's now 7-8 yards past them.
Oh, I know who's number four.
It's a nice little advantage.
Puka.
He is?
Guys, see that catch he made on the sideline today?
It was pretty great.
Before the Rams realized they were going against a force greater than any satanic force or anything, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
So, they're 4-2. I've watched every play of all six games. I have no idea how they're 4-2, but they've hit the point now where I feel like they're going to win when there's no signs. Like that guy missed the extra point today for the Rams and made it 9-3 instead of 10-3. I'm like, oh, here we go. Steelers come down. All of a sudden it's 10-9. They have five first downs because they get the TJ Watt, you know, the pick that sets up the touchdown. And you're just like, here we go. They're doing this. And we've seen this before because this was the Eli Manning. Danny Heifetz was the first person to point this out. This was the Eli Manning recipe for years and years that I can't believe that team's winning. What the fuck just happened? He only made two throws. How did he do it? They're 4-2. I totally believe in them. And I feel like they're going to go 12-5 and have a negative point differential.
Well, the good thing is we're making money off them, right? We bet them. Yeah. We saw them plus. I thought they'd be favored last Sunday night. I thought they'd be favored, but they're not. So we're doing that thing, but also just taking them because the Steelers. But I found a gem, and I gave it out on Ringer Wise Guys. Rams first half, Steelers to win the game, 10-1, you know, I'm positive that their bullshit is going to pay dividends. And 10-1, I think it'll hit like three more times. Like, you're right. That TJ Watt interception brings it down to the 8. We see some separation from Pickens on a receipt, like the one drive you wait for all game, and it happens. And then that terrible spot at the end, it didn't give him a chance. That
was beyond terrible.
Really bad.
McVay also probably should have had a timeout left.
I know, but you know, what is it important to be like, hey, listen, we could get this right, but we'd rather teach you a lesson, coach, to save your timeouts. Like, the spot thing bothers me more than missed pass interferences, because it's an old man jogging 8 yards and he has to see between 20 bodies. And then, like, you know, he sticks his foot in the mud and says, here, this is like a surveyor from 1835. He's like, this is where your property ends, sir. Like, we got to put, there's a chip in the ball. Isn't there a chip in the ball? What's it for?
It's funny that we figured out Wimbledon, in US Open, we figured out how to measure serves immediately, whether they hit the line or not. In football, which seems like it would be really easy to just have some sort of magnet that was attached to the chains. The other thing that was weird about that, for people who didn't see it, the Steelers did 4th-and-1. They had the lead. There's probably like a little more than 2 minutes left. And they run the QB sneak play, kind of the Brady play where you kind of put your head down, but you go left. But he slipped. And his knee went down. And it wasn't one of those when you're watching it where you're like, oh, I wonder if he got it. It was like, you knew immediately, oh, he didn't get it. He slipped. And then they come in with the spot. And then like, oh, he might have gotten it. And they did that. I couldn't believe it. And I'm rooting for the Steelers. But I was like, oh, my God. This is the worst spot of the year. I thought they deserved to win anyway, but that was pretty tough for the Rams.
We need some clarification, and I get it because McVay didn't have timeouts, and it wasn't actually the 2 minute warning yet, even though it did wind to that after that. But is there a ref in the sky? Is there this guy in the sky, or is this everything has to go back to New York? Like I feel like we're told three different things. It's a bummer because that could have been overturned. But you're right, 10-1, we hit. Let's just keep doing it.
Rams? Well, you know who else would have gotten that 4th-and-1? Eli Manning. He would have fallen down a half foot in front and somehow would have gotten the spot. The Rams kicker was the MVP of this game for the Steelers. He missed two longer field goals. They were like 50-yard field goals, but he missed them both, and then he missed that extra point. And then and Tomlin just, you know, he threw away the challenge. He screwed up a challenge, which is the Tomlin staple. Mm-hmm. The Steelers do this thing, though, where It, you know, everyone shits on Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, but maybe it's somewhat intentional. It's like he lulls them to sleep. Plays for like almost 2 hours where you're like, man, oh my God, really? The run in the line again? Oh, the screen pass where the guy almost gets tackled behind the line. You're going to run that one again? And then all of a sudden, like the roof lifts up on their offense and there's daylight and there's guys running around and open receivers and George Pickens going nuts. I wonder if they feel like they can only get away with it for like a quarter. So they just kind of lull you. And then like near the end of the third quarter, that's when they run the real offense. There's no other explanation. Again, I've watched every Steelers game.
Oh, I know.
I haven't seen a team that can look like shit. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, they figured it out. But I think they know.
I like the analogy that the theory that he lulls them to sleep. It's like, Sade at when you're getting a massage.
Sade?
Am I saying it wrong? It's only a 40-year-old reference, but no, they'll play Sade in a massage, and then you know 3 minutes later you're asleep, and then the massage is over. Like, oh, I don't even know if anything happened. I get my back rubbed or not. But that's so it. That's Matt Canada.
House love this story.
I gotta bring him in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was almost thinking of it compared to like boxing or MMA or something, where the guy is like the first couple rounds is like, you know, he's just kind of picking spots, waiting, but not like doing what his eventual game plan is. And then by the 7th round, he flips. Like Bernard Hopkins used to do that. Remember, he would always like first half of the fight was always different than the second half of the fight. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm giving the Steelers too much credit, but I'm with you, that 10-1, it's like you found some sort of inefficiency in FanDuel's betting strat. Like, that 10-1 is crazy because the Steelers, this is what they do. They look like shit for a half and then they come back.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be there. I feel like they're getting, I think Pickett's getting a little bit better. They're using Jaylen Warren more. They have really good players on both sides of the ball. And I think, I don't know, I think they're going to be there. Now, they're not going to be there like the Ravens. The Ravens were the big winners today. And yeah, we're going to talk about them right after this break. Jump into the NBA action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. Plus, all customers get 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel when they place a $5 bet on the NBA. That way, you can watch all the action he's bet on everything from point spreads to player props. Best of all, you'll get paid your winnings instantly. We're going to play up a bet on social media on Monday that I'm excited about, which I realized after watching Wembanyama on Friday night. I think he's going to lead the league in blocks. And you can bet on this. The odds are on FanDuel. The odds are also on FanDuel that Steph Curry will lead the league in made threes this year, which I think he's done 7 times out of the last 10. And the only times that it hasn't happened is if he's gotten hurt. I'm going to put those two bets together for you all. 8-1 odds, and we can do a little profit boost because of FanDuel's little future bet program that they have. I think it's a 30% boost. So I will tweet that out. Check out my Twitter feed on Monday for that. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets plus 3 months of NBA League Pass. Visit FanDuel.com/BS. Tip off the NBA season, right? FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. All customer offer. $5 NBA wager required. Limit one pass per customer across both offers. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See full terms for both offers. At FanDuel.com/sportsbook. NBA League Pass. Local blackout restrictions apply. This episode is brought to you by SimpliSafe. Whenever someone mentions spring, you can't help but think of the word fresh. Spring brings fresh air, fresh beginnings, freshly cleaned homes. It's also a really great time to take a fresh look at SimpliSafe home security. I use it in my home and absolutely love it. By the way, summer's coming. No better time to maybe dip in to our friends at SimpliSafe than when you're leaving your house, your condo, your apartment, wherever you live. You're probably going to go somewhere for a while. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Guess who's going to know that? Burglars. SimpliSafe, great because it protects your whole home. Uses advanced sensors and a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Keep watch over your property day and night. 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. You can even check it out on your phone. Gives you peace of mind. You want peace of mind. Try SimpliSafe today. Risk-free. No contract. 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off your system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at SimpliSafe.com/BS. That's SimpliSafe.com with two I's, SimpliSafe.com/BS. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. All right, so the Baltimore Ravens. A trend I noticed this year. If you go week by week, who had like the best game of the week? And then what happened to them the following week? Remember, I was talking about like that smoke theory. So yeah, week one, it was the Niners. They beat the Steelers 30-7. I was like, Niners, Niners, Niners. The next week, they had that really tight game to the Rams. I don't think they covered, but it was like that back and forth game. And I was like, oh my God, is my tees in trouble? Week two, Cowboys, Jets, 30-10. The next week, you lose to the Cards.
Oh.
Week three, Dolphins, 70. Broncos, 20. Oh, Dolphins. Oh my God, this offense. Who's going to stop it? Next week, they lose to the Bills by 28. Week four, the Bills. Bills 48, Dolphins 20. Oh my God, the Bills. Best offense in the league. They lose to the Jaguars next week. Week five, Niners 42, Cowboys 10. Holy shit, is this the best team in the league? Next week, they lose to Cleveland. Week six, I had to struggle a little to find a week 16, but I think it was Lions 20, Bucks 6. Because... okay. Yeah, they were the ones where coming out of week six, people were like, the Lions, that's a legitimate contender. Or they're the best. Stephen A. had them number one on his first take NFL rankings. What happens? Right. They lose to the Ravens 38-6. And now this week, it's Ravens time. The Ravens are going to be the story this week. Lamar Jackson, is he the MVP? Is this the best team in the AFC? Have they unleashed him offensively? All these stats. They're at
Cardinals?
Arizona next
They're
week.
They're going to lose to the Cardinals?
They're at Arizona next week.
I don't care. Listen, that's a teaser. Teaser for me. Don't care.
All right. Well, I've gotten killed on teasers.
No, but listen, I think we're all over this, though. We're pretty smart about this, right? We like the Browns over the Niners, and then Deshaun Watson screwed up our thinking because he went out like on Tuesday and like, all right, well, the last backup was bad for the Browns, but we're usually on this. I'll say this. I think this was as far as thorough ass kickings from a good team to another good team. I think this is one of two games. Ravens beating the Lions, and the other one I really think was the Bills beating up on the Dolphins. Now, you could say the same about the Eagles today, but they had a pick six, and they just like on both sides of the ball dominating. You can maybe even throw the Niners, Steelers in there now that the Steelers are quote unquote good, but those are two of the three biggest, and it makes me think like definitely don't want to face this Ravens team in January right now. Right now, I'm saying that.
Well, they had 503 yards against Detroit.
Yeah.
The game felt over when it was 14-0. It just felt like, oh, this is the Ravens, awesome Ravens game we've kind of been waiting for. Dan Graziano said, he wrote after the game that Lamar had 246 passing yards when under duress on Sunday. It is the most yards under duress by any quarterback in any game since 2009 when ESPN began tracking quarterback pressures. Mm-hmm. In the first six games of the season, Jackson had 235 yards under duress total.
I think he could sue also if you're under duress and still throwing completing but passes.
The reason I bring that up is because watching it, I thought the Lions were like getting pressure on him, and it wasn't like they were just like killing them. Like the Lions were actually trying to do shit. They couldn't really block for Goff, which I was surprised by. I thought Baltimore,
it was so great.
The Zay Flowers thing really seems like it's important. And they, you know, they're using more play action, and it just like the offense just seems more fluid than it did. All the fixes that they did over the years.
Six pass catchers over 30 yards. They had 146 yards rushing. You know, Lamar went for 357, just perfect, like a 155 rating, and gave up zero sacks from this Detroit, you know, defense and pass rush that just terrorized other teams. And you're right, Goff could not get going at all.
He couldn't. He was 18-1 to win MVP, Goff, today. And I think that ship has sailed. Lamar is 7-1 on FanDuel right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the best value odds because Hurts is up to 5-1. But if you've actually watched the season, I think, you know, Mahomes is the favorite at plus 260. And he finally got going today with Kelsey, which we'll talk about in a second. Two is plus 420. It feels like it's narrowing a little bit now. I still like Lawrence as like a dark horse at 20-1, just in case the Jags, especially with their schedule, if they just kind of rip off some wins.
Yeah, so Lawrence has opposite of what Lamar Jackson has probably in front of him, right? Lamar Jackson probably has a bunch of cold weather games.
He does. Trevor
Lawrence has some indoor games in division. So Lamar's going to have, he could be great and have like 100, 160 yards passing, you know, in some of these games coming up.
Yeah, he has this kind of sneaky Arizona game that I'm just saying now, I don't like the smell of it. Because after that, they have three straight home games. Seattle, Cleveland, Cincinnati, all at home. And then they go to LA to play the Chargers, and they have a bye week. So this Arizona thing is like, come on, we'll go to Arizona. We'll take care of business. Then we got three at home. And I really think this was part of the problem with Cleveland today. I think Cleveland thought they just had to go in and, we'll freaking kill Minshew, and it'll be fine. And they were asleep from the get-go. The only guy who was awake on their entire team was Myles Garrett. But with the Ravens, so if you go wins by division, remember we were talking before the year in our preview, and I was like, could we get four playoff teams from the AFC North? I think we had that conversation.
Yeah.
I think we each said there would be three.
Yeah, the Bengals were off. They're off today, and they lost the half game to everybody.
They lost ground. Yeah. Everybody has, the Bengals are 3-3. Everyone else has a winning record. AFC North has 16 wins so far, which is the most. Your division has 15. Do you want to guess what division has the least amount of wins?
Are you going to surprise me and say, no, it can't be the AFC West. It's, the NFC South? I don't know.
It's your least favorite division, the NFC South, with 10 wins total.
Yeah.
NFC North, though, with 11. And I got to say, man, after watching that Packers-Broncos game and losing a little money on it today,
oh,
that
God.
NFC
you
North
did?
Is... Yeah, I thought Denver and the Pats, one of my betting strategies this week was Denver and the Pats are now in a death race for the first pick. Both mm-hmm. of them won. And both yeah. of them had a chance to lose down the stretch and instead zagged the other way and went for it. But yeah, the AFC North, clearly I think the best top to bottom division. It's the only division with four good teams.
Yeah,
four decent
for sure.
teams, right?
And that NFC South, I don't really want to discuss it, but it's like, that Thursday night game, Carr, okay, they made a comeback and everything, but that was miserable, miserable TV for 2.5 hours. And Al Michaels should not be subjected to it. The whole division is a check down quarterback division. It really is. And the Jacksonville defender said that, like, what's the big deal? Like, Carr, all he does is check down. And we figured that out early. So, all right, same with Desmond Ridder, who might be the worst of the bunch, like fumbled 3 times today, 2 at the 1-yard line. Baker, I don't know how many chances we're going to give him. I bet him every single week, and he falls short. And who am I forgetting? Oh,
the Carolina
rookie,
crew.
Bryce Young. Yeah, he's not there yet.
Andy Dalton might be the best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, Taysom Hill, take him snaps. Yeah.
Well, you want to take a stab at picking the NFC South winner?
No. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, sure.
The Falcons, who heading into today were, I think, plus 160 in the division.
Right.
And this is after the Saints loss. Then they win. Now they're even money to win the South. Saints plus 190. Tampa's plus 350. But the aforementioned AFC North, Baltimore is even money now. Cleveland's plus 240. Pittsburgh's 5-1. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati's plus 650. Cleveland's a borderline cross off to me because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah.
You can't describe how bad Watson was in that first quarter. Like even if his shoulder wasn't hurting him, they had to make believe that it was. And he took a big hit.
Yeah.
And then he went in the concussion protocol but got cleared.
He had his head.
You can't say anything.
Yeah, yeah, right. Everyone associated with the Browns seemed fine that their $230 million man was sitting out, including the $230 million man. He seemed good. He had a jacket on, indoor stadium. Not sure why, but it was, yeah, they got very lucky in that game. I know you that was the luckiest bet you ever made, right? It was smart. You had Browns first half and Browns to win.
Well, I had $1 million pick, so I had Browns -3, so that hurt. In real life was the one I called in on Wise Guys for, which was Browns first half, Browns to win, Eagles first half, Eagles to win. That parlay was like plus 350. That hit.
Nice. That was good.
One, and I hit my Steelers same game today too. I wish I could do $1 million picks on Sunday. Deshaun's 10 Browns games, including today, 11 touchdowns, 9 picks. He threw for 1,783 yards. He's averaging 178 yards a game. And they gave up 3 first round picks. They gave him a shitload of money. And on top of it, not exactly a popular signing. So
no,
I don't know if that's better or worse than Denver, where they are with Russell Wilson. I mean, at least Russell Wilson, like you don't have the community turning against you, but
I think he's like a $51 million cap hit if they decide to part ways with him next year. But I don't know. But now we're getting very lucky too. That uncatchable ball. I don't know. Is anything uncatchable anymore? Yeah, two.
So let's talk about this because it's another rule now where I don't even know how to interpret it when I see it, because they'll call it sometimes. The two rules that just seem to be arbitrary now are the defender not turning around on pass interference. They'll call it 90% of the time, but 10% of the time they just won't call it. And then the ball hitting the back of the end zone, basically where the stands are, and there's still being a pass interference because the ball was in the air during the pass interference, but it wasn't uncatchable yet, even though it was about a split second away from being uncatchable. It just seems like they're making shit up as they go along. So,
yeah, it just doesn't make sense when you think about everything else. Like if a ball is tipped, you could basically swing the receiver around by the face mask and sling them into the mezzanine. Yeah, but if a ball is thrown and it's uncatchable, if Shaq is standing on Wemby's shoulders, like it doesn't. You know, we can't see more of this, right? And then they called it for the Chiefs a couple weeks ago against the Vikes, but then didn't call it today. Very strange.
I don't understand what happened to the Browns D in that game, because that was the first game where it didn't feel like they were flying around like we saw in the other games. And one theory I had, I'm going to throw at you because it sounds like it's going to be an excuse.
Does it have Sade in it?
Does
it have Sade in it? I don't want to hear it then. Okay.
Do you think that game, that Niners game last week, just took a fucking shitload out of both teams? I mean, Debo's out. Debo has a hairline fracture now. McCaffrey looks like he's going to play tomorrow. But that was such a violent game. I wonder if both teams were kind of... We might have to tuck that theory away for the future for gambling. Like, if you watch a game where you're like, holy shit, this is a violent game, maybe both teams are just stayaways the next week. Because I thought the Browns looked not like a different team. And I don't know mm-hmm. what to make of it.
It was violent before the game started. There were fights. Like, it really... right. Now they got... Yeah, they got beat up. Gardner Minshew should not beat them up to the tune of 456 yards versus 316, right? So they were outscored by a lot there. Almost like 40%.
They gave up, I think, like 350-plus plays.
Big plays.
The guys were open. It wasn't like, oh, man, lucky throws. Like, these guys were fucking wide open. They gave up big runs. Taylor, right. I thought, was punishing them on a couple of the drives. And
Minshew taking off for 12-yard. Like, that, those aren't huge plays, but like 8, 9, 10, 11-yard runs for Minshew extending drives was big. Yeah. I don't know how they won that, actually.
Well, if you're a Browns fan, you're like, hey, guys, we're 4-2. Can you just give us this? Do you have to pour water on us?
Yeah. We lost Chubb. We lost our quarterback who we thought was good.
Which, if I gave you a surprise division winner that's not leading the division right now, and your four choices were the Seahawks at 4-2, a game behind the Niners, mm-hmm. Steelers at 4-2, right behind the Ravens. Houston 3-3, a game and a half behind Jacksonville, or the Jets of New York at 3-3, a game and a half behind Miami. Which one would you like?
Mm.
Seahawks, Steelers, Houston, Jets. You can only pick one.
It's weird because I think the Niners are pretty much a lock in the West, but out of the ones you mentioned, the ones I could stomach watching for a few hours are the Seahawks, right? But is that my pick at plus 650? Over the Jets, yes. I'll say the Texans. Maybe there's a little something there. Maybe just a little something. I know the Jaguars have put together a nice, impressive run here, and their defense is better than I probably think. But plus 450, I'd say Texans. What about you?
Texans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Jags' car was so bad in that game on Thursday night. And in general, Thursday night games are stupid. But Jags 5-2. I could see them doing really well and finishing 12-5 and whatever, but I don't think Houston's going to go away. I like that team.
The Jags might be the team that kills us gambling. We're not going to give them credit. They played that Thursday game. They played the London game. They seem to play quarterbacks who aren't ready. They beat up on Gardner Minshew, right? And they're gonna screw us all the way to the playoffs. Congratulations, Jags.
I broke my rule. I teased them on. I don't bet on Thursday games, but I teased them on Thursday with the Bills and the Seahawks.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, this will be great. The 2 weeks in a row. Why? Next week, I'm straight upping. I'm straight up the rest of the way. It's like I have to learn every year. Don't do these stupid teasers with the most obvious. There's no question. Oh, but of course the Bills are going to beat the Patriots. And then meanwhile, the line's dropping. And before the game, Belichick. Turns out he's going to play his best five offensive linemen together. New strategy for us. Oh, and we're going to play the two receivers that get open all the time. We're going to try that this week, Bourne and Pop Douglas. It's like they finally did all the things we should have been doing the whole season. Meanwhile, I'm rooting against them because I want the draft pick. and listen, don't do that.
First of all, you cry all the time about how your team doesn't make good offseason moves. You gave the old man an extension. Look how great that proved.
He gets one every year. Beat up that was on the a bill. Fake story.
Huge. How is that not? No one reported on that. He's one of the biggest.
Every year they add like a year to his contract.
They said a huge extension.
Yeah.
You don't think it's big? All right.
Whatever.
All
right. They'll still get rid of him or trade him if they.
Secondly, you're watching college football. You don't know who you don't know what pick you want here, what quarterback. Why would you tank? Like, these, first of all, these guys work out 40% of the time anyway.
I know.
And also, Caleb Williams' stock has dropped in the last three weeks.
I watched him last night on a JetBlue flight. I was not impressed. It was tough.
I know.
I went from thinking he was the next Mahomes to wondering if he would be the first pick.
Root for your team. He's the next Jackson Mahomes. Root for your team.
I'll tell you this. The Bills take the lead late. So I'm like, oh, this is perfect. This is the perfect loss. We'll be 1-6. Mm-hmm. Matt gets the ball. It's 0-13 in his last 13 as an underdog. He's had one come from behind drive in like the last 2.5 years. So there's no better scenario.
Mm-hmm.
First play, like a screen pass to Rhamondre. It's not like we're going to beat anyone deep, the Pats. Screen pass to Rhamondre, the entire Bills defense falls asleep. He goes for like 40 yards. We got guys downfield blocking. They just pick the flags up. So now all of a sudden, and it's like, all right, well, I've seen this. Mac will take him to like the 18 and then not be able to punch it in. No, he actually punches it in, makes the play, and they beat the Bills. It was an encouraging, maybe we're not as bad as our record win for the Pats, but I thought really discouraging for the Bills because their defense just is not the same. And I thought even Zeke Elliott was like punishing them up the middle, and guys were open on big drives. And I don't think they might have lost too many guys, Sal.
I agree with you. And I know everyone's pointing to the defense, but they were stuck on 10 points for a long time, the Bills.
They were.
Like, why can't they score? Why can't they wait? All right, if they don't wake up in London, fine, we understand. They don't wake up the week later when they come home. But what the hell? Those guys seem to score in bunches, right? It's Diggs gets three touchdowns a game, Gabe Davis three touchdowns, or it just doesn't happen. And it was too little too late when they came back. But
well, I wonder, is that a team? Because we got the trade deadlines.
How are they 4-3? That team that crushed Miami is 4-3.
Yeah. If you were them, would you try to fix the defense or would you try to double down on the offense? Because just watching them going against them today, it felt like they were a receiver short. Like even you look at the stats, Kincaid was 8 for 75. Diggs was 6 for 58. And then Shakir was 4 for 35. Gabe Davis was 1 for 6. Dawson Knox 1 for 10. It's like they're missing that, you know, that 3rd and 7 possession guy, like their version of they're not going to get Puka Nacua, but somebody, you know, that slot guy who can get open, who they used to have. They had Beasley, they had McKenzie.
Yeah, I just don't know who it is. I mean, you picked the carcass of the Broncos who won today. I mean, I'm hearing Patrick Surtain. That would, you know, definitely straighten out some defensive needs, but I guess a Judy or, you know, something like that could help.
Kendrick Bourne would actually be perfect for them. He had another good game today. But I don't know. I can't tell what the Pats are going to do because on the one hand, the AFC, it does feel like maybe 9-8 is going to be a playoff seed. I hope they go the other way and become sellers, but I hope this wasn't a fool's gold win for them. Pats were 24 for 96 rushing. Mac only had 5 incompletions. He had 0 turnovers. The only turnover the Bills got was on a strip of Kendrick Bourne. So
They're over. I'm betting you're over win total. Do you know what it is?
Don't do that. No, I'm
doing it.
Please don't do that.
I'm doing it. There's 17 games this year?
Don't do that.
And 6 wins? They're not going to go 6-11? Are you kidding me?
I veto that. Yeah. Another big storyline. Are the Fun Chiefs back? Have they put the fun back in Kansas City? What do you think?
I think the Chargers, 27th, 28th ranked pass defense makes everyone look good. Remember Dak Prescott? He looked good against the Chargers defense last Monday night. So I don't want to go too crazy. Also, I lost money on that game. I thought that was one where the Chargers would come through. I really was just zooming in on Tay-Tay's bracelets the whole game. So I didn't watch. You tell me. Did they look good?
Well, here's my question. I mean, the Chiefs were wide open all over the place. They're paying their expensive cornerback to play for the Patriots. And he actually played the entire game today. It was one of the reasons the Pat's secondary looked pretty good. He had a pretty good game today. So I don't know what they were doing with that. But I hesitate to ask you this. If a coach got fired tomorrow, we're in firing season now.
Right.
And it was Staley, would you be surprised? They're 2-4.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like people are blaming him. I know it doesn't matter what the public perception is. I think Herbert's starting to finally get some blame here. Finally, a little bit. You got to get wins now and then. It can't all be Staley's fault, right?
What is his career record now? Is he?
It's really good.
He's under 500. Herbert? 27-28. Nerd hero, yeah. Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And some really poor decision making. Now, the Mike Williams piece of this cannot be understated because it's like the Chargers offense with him, without him. There's a million stats. Eye test backs it up.
Keenan Allen is great, though. Keenan Allen's really good. If you look at his year this year, he's got game. He has a 40-something catches already.
Their number one pick that you waived in one of our drafts, Quentin Johnston. You waived him, right?
Yeah, I got rid of him.
Like 10 catches today.
I know, of course.
He's all over the place. I think the Chargers are dead because we're hitting week eight, which is right. Week eight, week nine is when we have to figure out, all right, who is the 2-5 team that somehow rallies and makes the playoffs, or who's the 3-5 team, or 2-6, whatever it is. So the Chargers would be a natural possible pick because of Herbert, but I don't see it at all. I don't see it at all. I mean, from a strategy standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, from a mistake standpoint, their defense sucks. I don't see it. I don't see them coming back.
Is there any game, is there any matchup you'd be very confident? Would you take them in an eliminator position in any matchup? Like Panthers come to town. The Panthers probably have more fans. Like I don't know. I wouldn't take them at all. What I'm mad about is you and House this time last week. We tried to put together a division parlay when Kansas City was like -450. Now they're -1250. So
we had it. It was the three obvious ones, and
you wanted to go the Eagles,
Chiefs, Lions, and Eagles. Yeah, you wouldn't do it.
I don't want to do the Eagles.
All right, we'll take a break. A couple more games to discuss, then we'll do guest lines. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How you doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Are you like me where you're looking at April and you're just thinking, man, there's a lot of sports. There's a lot of podcast content. There's a lot of stuff to watch. I got to make sure I don't lose control of the narrative here. Got to spend time with the family. Got to unwind. Got to spend time with my friends. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up heading into the summer. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time, but therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can give you the help for the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge, because a full battery is the key to a full life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BillSimmons today to get 10%. off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/BillSimmons. One last thing on the Chiefs. They didn't show Taylor Swift as many times as usual, but are those natural reactions with her? Did she get a reaction coach?
Oh.
Or is she like genuinely excited by, maybe doesn't know anything about football, so each experience of having something good happen is like she's genuinely that excited? What would you put the ratio? Are you afraid of the Swifties, me even asking this?
Don't put this
on social, Cerruti.
No, Cerruti, go for it. I don't even care about the Swifties. But I don't think she knows what a natural reaction is, because she has thousands every night just screaming at the top of their lungs.
She's watched when she's there 24 hours a day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Beatles all over again. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not as concerned about it. Go crazy, Cerruti. Get it up there.
I'll tell you this, though.
Yeah.
I thought the best celebrity spouse girlfriend reactor ever was Pete Sampras' wife, Brigitte Wilson Sampras.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
The fist pumps with the cheers. Just look great all the time. I always liked when they cut to her. I felt everything was genuine. I don't know how much of it was acting, playing in the cameras versus... But she sold me every time. She was the GOAT for me. Taylor Swift's getting up there. It's pretty good. Right. See, now they're going to put this on social.
Well, but is it really competition?
She's what?
Because she's next to Mahomes' wife, right? So now
she has handshakes with her already. But right. She really seems like she gives a shit. I think these two wacky kids might stay together a while.
You think
her
so?
And Kelsey. Yeah.
Yeah, that bracelet says a lot.
I always thought when Aniston dated Pitt, right, where Pitt's like, when they started going out in like the late 90s, and Pitt's like, I can't believe I got the girl from Friends. This is the hottest girl in America. I fucking pulled it off. And she's like, I can't believe I got Brad Pitt. He's the hottest guy in America. I can't believe I pulled it off. So that's part of like the relationship, the electricity of it is just one side. Deep down, you're still the person when you weren't famous and nobody knew who the fuck you were, and you probably had an ugly stage, and you're just looking at it like, I can't believe I'm dating this person. Mm. And I wonder with Taylor Swift, as famous as she is, and she's dated all these actors, it's kind of cool to date one of the most famous football players. And he's in these games. He had like 180 yards today, like 12 catches and a touchdown. Yeah. And then he obviously thinks it's cool because it's Taylor Swift. I think they stay together.
Do you think Brad Pitt was like, he wasn't rooting on Aniston during the Friends tapings? Like, yeah, they're at Central Park now. Fist pump.
You tell Ross who's boss.
Ridiculous.
Falcons Bucks was the dumbest game of the day. Falcons did cover, but Ritter is a heart attack. I don't know. He had 3 interceptions last week, 3 fumbles this week. And I just...
fumbles at the one, 2 of them.
No Bijan.
This whole division is a disaster. You try to figure it out. He was just not feeling well. That's why he's on the field, but not getting the ball.
They didn't tell us what was going on for like an hour and a half either.
Right.
And then the answer was he's not feeling well. Bears Raiders. The Bears quarterback today, who House affectionately nicknamed Teabag. Classic Joe House. he's 1-0, and he looked pretty competent. This Div 2 kid. If you remember last year with Purdy, I ended up getting infatuated and doing a Wikipedia deep dive and giving you a little 5-minute dissertation. Mm-hmm. I did not do that for Teabag.
No?
He's got to win me over for one more week. But
I can help you out. I can help you out. Division 2 all-time leader in passing yards. His father was an arm wrestling champion 18 times, 11 times right-handed, 7 times left-handed. And the only other thing I know about him is that I had to bid $11 on him because in that weird league you set up, we have to start 2 quarterbacks because 30 teams were off. So David Chang, who, I don't know. I mean, he's a football expert. He's on Amazon every Thursday night. So he put this rule in effect and I had to start Tyson Bagent.
I had to start Mac Jones against the Bills today and he somehow had 22 points. It was very exciting. Yeah. Just 2 notes on this game. One is Donta Foreman, who was awesome 2 years ago in Tennessee. Then he goes to Carolina last year. And in the second half of the year, he's like one of the 5 best running backs in the league. And a big part of their identity is they almost made the playoffs. And then once again, just available, the Bears sign him. They don't use him for 5 weeks. Has this huge day-to-day, and it's just like he's somehow, every year, he's the most underrated running back in the league. I have him. I picked him up in all my leagues, I think. I don't know why Vegas started Hoyer. I thought that was really weird. Like
you wanted O'Connell? You wanted...
Yeah. Hoyer's like 40. Like, was this going to be the year he turns into somebody? Right. I just don't get it. Jacobs last year was 4.9 a carry. This year, he's 2.9 a carry. Wow. Last year, 12 TDs. This year, 0. And I think McDaniels is in the first coach fired.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of
pool.
Well,
no, they have how many? They won 2 in a row before this game, right?
That was dispiriting, that game.
Like, it was really bad.
They looked like none of them wanted to be there. That was that jumped out to the TV as like, there's something wrong with this team game.
You know what I liked about it, though? Now is there anything better for like sports talk radio that now there's a quarterback controversy in New York and Chicago and it like happened within the same hour?
Oh yeah,
like, Ty Taylor and Ty Bagent now like hey, man, we could have saved some money with these guys.
What's a word that's like less exciting than a controversy?
Sade?
Is it?
Oh no,
it's like a semi-controversy.
Yeah,
controversy. Are you talking?
Wow, you know, I gotta say, I think I'm done making fun of Collinsworth because everything he ends with the S is an SH. It's like it's very tense out there. He'll say like tench for tense. I like.
Oh, you think he's taunting you?
No, I think he might have a speech impediment, and I don't want to go after him anymore. I think there's something actually wrong.
Okay. Giants Washington, Rivera is the other candidate for first coach fired.
Yeah.
He's got to be in there. Howell had 6 more sacks. He is up to 40 for the year. He's 36 That's away nuts. From David Carr, who has the all-time sack record. 40, yeah. And we're not even at the halfway point yet. And he's week feels like he's getting worse. Like it just, he either holds the ball too long or makes a weird decision or they're really bad.
I like, but when he throws, don't you feel a little confident? Except if you didn't have all this data saying the ball's probably going to be incomplete, just the way he throws. I feel like he looks good. I used to feel that way about like Brian Greasy. I'm like, oh man, that guy could.
Like if you paused it right as he's releasing the ball, right. You would think it was a good play.
That's good. Someone's going to catch that and run an extra 7 yards. Not the case.
Guess the Lions week 8. So we have 16 games next week.
Yeah.
For some reason, we had 6 buys today, which was pretty nice because the TVs were actually pretty manageable today.
Right.
But next week, we're back to 16. And we have a Sunday night game that is appalling that we're going to get to.
Monday's not great either. And yeah, I want to make a plea to the league now. Please stop killing the fantasy players with 6 buys, like you said last week, and none this week. Because the buys forced a lot of people, including me, to pick up Zach Evans. We got a nice big fat 0. Zach Evans, who on Thursday was a Rams starter, and then inexplicably Saturday night was a third stringer. And now there's Henderson. No buys. Yeah, right.
Henderson has been on the Rams. I think he was on the Dick Vermeil Rams in 1999.
Yeah. I think so.
He's 27 years old. Thursday night, Bills Bucks in Buffalo. Interesting game for both of these teams.
And now Tampa wins this, right? Now we have to think they're good again. Like it's already hate I'll it.
Tell you this. Bills are only 4-3.
I know.
Like this would be a terrible, oh my God, we've lost 2 games in 5 days. We just lost to Mac Jones and Baker Mayfield. What the hell is going on with us? Yep. I don't like this spot. Don't America, don't gamble on this game. I have the Bills favored by 5.5 over Tampa.
All right, I get this one. I said 6.5. It is 7.5. By the way, I should mention your cheating got you to 4-1-2, or you're 1-4-2 going into week 8. All right.
I didn't cheat.
I'm up one. Go ahead.
That Bills line's too high. Don't you think?
3-3. Yeah, 3-3 at 4-3.
Thursday night?
Just don't score. They just don't score. Everyone in that division just takes so long to score. I was talking to a friend, like, how many teams could drive 75 yards? Like 4? Like, could do it, like, against good defenses. Like, how many do you have?
Yeah.
Like, Miami, Philly, San Francisco. Is that it?
Baltimore.
And Baltimore.
Like, Baltimore could do it. Kansas City? That's gotta be it. It's 5?
Yeah, I guess. All right, 5. No more. Not the Bills.
Sunday marquee game. It's tough because we have 5 good games, but no great games. So I'm going to go with this one. 49ers, Bengals.
Yeah.
It's in San Francisco. Bengals coming off a bye. 49ers are playing on Monday night, tomorrow night against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, McCaffrey's going to play. I think this is just under where it would be teasable. I'm going to say 49ers by 5.5.
You got it. You nailed it. I said 4.5, and it is 5.5.
That's a nice spot for the Bengals.
That is so tough.
Good underdog money spot. That's one of those, if you like the Bengals, just bet them. Just bet the money. Bet the plus 200, whatever it is.
Nice rest advantage too, right?
Yeah.
The bye. They're 49ers playing Monday. Pretty good.
The watchables, I got 4. Dolphins Pats is a watchable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is.
Sure. Yeah. When did they play? They played 24-17. They played a night game, right?
Yeah. Yep. It's in Miami, and I'm going to say Dolphins by 7.5.
We both whiffed on this. I said 7.5 also. It's 10.5. Let me see if it moves.
That's too high. Man, I just don't think the Dolphins defense is good enough to give them a 10.5. Do you?
They're so weird. They're just so weird, right? Like, you played them tough the first time. Now, they might just be one of these tough defenses that the Dolphins have trouble with and you're going to double Tyreek Hill like you did. You held them to 24 last game. It might be high.
We have guys coming back, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't get sucked back in with this Pats thing. Go. I was already scouting quarterbacks. Did you watch a lot of that game? The Pats game? Did you have it on?
Yeah. Sure.
Barmore was out of control today. It was one of the most dominant defensive line performances I think we've had in the last 5 or 6 years. He was unbelievable. He even had a late hit on Allen at one point, but he was just all over the place. He was collapsing in the middle of their line. It was really interesting.
What happened to this?
Kind of waiting for that for a while.
It's such a weird defense that comes alive sometimes, and I don't know. It's like that. Sometimes they want to impress daddy, and sometimes they don't. They don't care.
Well, I think the way the move is to just run it up our throats, but I don't think the Bills are really capable of doing that. It was also, Josh has always been a guy that has moved around on the Pats and used his legs, and he's kind of owned us. I'm shocked that the Pats won that game.
Yeah.
He's also, have you noticed on the deep balls this year, he's been terrible. Like he's chucked up more balls for grabs, it feels like, this year than any other quarterback in the league. Next watchables, your team, the boys of Dallas, home for the Rams. I can't tell if the Rams, definitely one of those, they look good for about 35 minutes teams. And if they're playing another really good team, they kind of run out. But that first half looks awesome. Yeah. Like, oh man, wish I hadn't gone and get some Rams. But then it kind of peters out there. So their running backs are pretty rough, but
they can't run the ball. I will say, maybe we should say something nice about the Steelers for like 10 seconds. Like Stafford seemed like he was under siege for a lot.
He was. In the first half, he was comfortable. Second half, he was not.
Yeah.
I have Dallas by 5.5 over the Rams.
All right, you're going to get this. Although this move, this is interesting. It was 6.5. It went to 6. So you do get it.
What'd you guess?
I'm sorry. I said 7. I went higher. I thought it was going to be, they actually probably would have more fans out here than where they are.
That's a good underdog, underdog money bet. Next one, watchables. This was in consideration for the Sunday marquee game. The Jaguars at Pittsburgh. I couldn't have thrown this in the tic-tac zone fast enough. I have the Jags favored by 1.5.
That is, I had 1. It is 1.5. It is the tic-tac zone. It's right there.
They never say 1. Have you noticed that? It's always 1.5. It's never 1. Well,
now that I'm clued into that, I'm going to figure that out. 1.5 is right. What are you going to do? Steelers plus 7.5?
Can I predict Joe House on Wise Guys on Sunday?
What's he going to do?
I like the Steelers in a very tasty underdog tease to 7.5. Like he's definitely, he'll tease the Steelers. Lock it down. 100%.
Yeah. He's been good with his dog picks too.
Yeah, the Steelers are going to, they're going to win that game and they're going to be 5-2. And we're going to have no idea how to beat the Jaguars.
Oh my God.
Last one. Seahawks home for the Cleveland Browns. And I have no idea who's playing quarterback for the Browns. I went Seahawks 3 on this one. And it's probably 2.5 and I have regrets already.
Yeah, you're killing me. I said 4. And it is 2.5. So either way, you get it. How crazy is that? That the $230 million, I keep saying the number, quarterback, we have no idea what it is. And FanDuel's like, we don't care. We're putting a line on this. It's the Browns. They're going to brown.
That's we know it. You'll bet on this anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Come to FanDuel.
Shouldn't it be higher? Shouldn't it be a little higher?
Can I make a PJ Walker confession?
I don't think
he's that bad. I don't think
he was
that
fine.
Bad.
He came on a little bit, but his last couple drives. What was his numbers? 178.
He's not to compare him to Russell Westbrook, one of the best like 65 NBA players of all time.
Oh,
but there is like a little bit of Westbrook to him. Like he'll complete a 30-yarder down the sidelines in stride to Amari Cooper, and he'll hit him perfectly. And then the next play, he'll just sail it over David Njoku's head.
Yeah.
And it's, you just don't know what's going to happen play to play with him. But he does make plays and he can move around. And I think I would rather have a below average or mediocre quarterback who can move versus somebody like Derek Carr.
Okay, so where do you put him? Would you have traded him for Gardner Minshew today and going forward? Like, is that Browns team be more confident in them to get to 10 wins with Gardner Minshew or PJ Walker?
So what do we make of Minshew? Because last week I was saying how they should start another quarterback and then bring him in the second quarter like a baseball. But
yeah.
What do they call it? Not the opener, but like the long reliever person.
The holder, the stopper. What is it?
But you're right. But he was good today though. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's like one of those baseball starters where there's going to be one start, he's just going to give up 9 runs. Then the next start, he throws a 3-hitter. And then the next start, he throws 120 pitches. And then he gets blown out again. That just might be who he is.
It's very strange,
he's
right?
Not good enough to be good over and over again, but every once in a while, because I thought he was really good in the Browns game.
Over 300 yards.
He had 30 in the pocket.
I would have thought he had 60 yards rushing. It was only 30, but yeah, he took off.
Big rushes, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he was good. Fairly watchables. Packers, Vikings. This probably could go in the poopfecta. I guess the Packers season is on the line. Packers home.
Yeah, they're both 2-4. Right?
Yeah. This just feels like a Packers by 3 for me.
Yeah, I was way off on these. I said Vikings by 1.5, and it is Packers by 1.5. So you get that. You have a 6-2 lead.
A little worried about Jordan Love.
Now you are.
We did a division long shot. That was, I like the Packers, you like the Vikings. We were both wrong. This is our torn up tickets bowl.
Well, we were so hell bent on a team coming in second place in this division, and nobody has to. Second place could be 6-11 easily.
He was bad. He's bad in the game today. I mean, you're playing Denver, and you get 0 points in the first half. He missed throws. I didn't think he looked very confident. There was one of the things I like to look for when you know a quarterback's not doing well is the reactions from the receivers when the ball is either too short or too long. And he had one late to Watson where he chucked it deep and it was just 8 yards away from where Watson was. And Watson just kind of slowed down with that. Jesus Christ, man, what the fuck? It was like one of those. I was like, oh, that's not good. But on the other hand, he can move his legs. Like there will be moments where he looks okay. But I mean, I would put him behind Ritter, right? As many turnovers as Ritter has, I still think he's more competent than Jordan Love.
Well, here's what's distressing. Like, first of all, they're playing Denver. Nobody should lose to Denver. And they take the lead on that double doink touchdown pass to, was it to Jaden Reed or something?
Right.
And like, oh, that should be it. You have Denver on the ropes. They just Broncoed the hell out of you here. And they give up the field goal and can't come back to win. So.
Yeah, that was Love's go-ahead touchdown. Was he threw it so far behind the guy that it hit his hands and bounced into the guy behind him. Pretty rough. Titans, Falcons for fairly watchables. Only because this is it for the Titans. I think they are now in must-win territory. Mm-hmm. Coming off a bye. Mike Vrabel just got elected to the Pats Hall of Fame. Falcons, I think, are fairly watchables at worst because every game they play comes down to the fourth quarter, it feels like, and weird things happen. So I have the Titans by 1.5.
This really moved. This moved a lot. I checked this 3 hours ago. I had Titans by 1, and it was 1.5, but now it's Falcons minus 1.5.
Jesus.
Did something happen? Is B.J. Robinson, Bijan Robinson traded to Tennessee? Why would this have moved so much?
The Titans aren't good, so that might be part of it.
Yeah,
but yeah, really, this looks like a classic. Oh my God, only 14% of the money is on the Titans.
Yeah,
we've been here before with them.
By the way, the top 7, I know you love these, but 70% or more money on the top 7 public games, all lost. Public
is that
got
true?
Killed. True. Absolutely true.
Oh my God. Let's take a break. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game. And they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right? First half of the first game.
I don't know, West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30, perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside, LDA 21 and up. This episode is supported by State Farm. If you've ever been in an accident and you're okay, but you know what happened, your first reaction is going to be, man, why did that happen? If you ever buy a new house or a new car or a new anything, there's this little rush you get when you're like, I did it. I made it happen. But really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
Colts Saints, what'd you think of Derek Carr's performative of Thursday stuff? You talked about a little on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Just redo your take for us here.
Yeah, I mean, he's going after Olave, like screaming at him with his arms in the air, making goalposts with his arms and everything after a pass. And they showed the pass, and it was really like, I think it hit a cheerleader in the neck or something. Like, what was his route supposed to be?
5 yards out of bounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what's with these guys?
He stopped the route, because otherwise the ball would have landed 5 yards out of bounds.
Don't they watch tape together on Monday? Like, hey, all right, you could yell at me, but now we're going to watch tape on this as a team. And then what? We're going to see how bad that pass was. Yeah.
He's another one where they have to kind of show him a picture of what he looks like with his helmet on and that mustache and be like, you're supposed to be the leader of the team. Can you have better facial hair? Can you go handlebar mustache or just full beard or just clean shave?
Right.
But this ain't working.
Check down. Four check down quarterbacks in that division. NFC check down south. Double check down. We got to figure it out.
We were on Cash Bar Car last year about how bad he was on the Raiders. And it was like, change of scenery. I thought the Saints were going to win the division just because I couldn't find another team. I thought defense, they go 9-8. They still might win the division, but he's been done for 2 years. The cash bar is closed.
It's closed? No tip jar? No. is that with on the hip? Yeah. I mean, we didn't like the coach, but we thought the better quarterback and the big signing would rule the division. Now I'm not even seeing that.
It's probably Atlanta.
God. I guess.
It's Ritter. Ritter's going to have 35 turnovers. We're going to be able to bet against him in round one.
This could be the worst this division's been. Like, even when Brady, was it a couple years ago? Or was it last year?
No, like, nothing's worse than last year. That Bucs team bad last year. Come on.
I can't watch these teams. I know, but...
Sam Darnold versus Brady for the NFC South. Brady's, like, already mentally retired. That was the worst.
Yeah. I made this a pick 'em. I said, Simmons, take this game from me. I'm making this a pick. Hmm.
I said Colts by one.
All right. Well, you'll get it. It's Colts by 1.5. This is a demolition.
Look at another Tic Tac. Jesus.
Yeah.
Eagles are at Washington. Everyone's going to make a big fuss about how the Washington always plays these guys well and blah, blah, blah. I think the Eagles are favored by 7 points.
We get to split one here. I said 6. It's 6.5. Didn't they play each other? There's two games where the teams played each other weeks ago.
There's a couple matchups where you feel like the teams play 4 times a year.
Right.
I think this is one of them. I think the Eagles and Washington play once a month.
We could spread it out more than 2 weeks. But Chiefs-Broncos is the same thing. We just saw that on Thursday night.
Well, we had a game, was it this week or last week, where they already played the two games after 6 weeks, one of the divisions.
Did that happen already?
Yeah, there was one matchup where that's it.
They
already played twice in week one and week six. All right, two more in the fairly watchables. Chiefs, Broncos. This is in Denver.
Just saw this. Yep.
Yeah, we just saw this one. I have the Chiefs favored by 7.5. Probably too low.
No, we have to split this too. I said 9.5. It's 8.5. Can't gain any ground on you here.
It makes me sad when there's pressure on Wilson and he spins out of it and then just gets tackled.
Yeah,
it's just kind of a bummer. That was like he was the best at that versus, and it, like, nobody else was as good as him in that specific situation of He's in a lot of trouble, spins out, buys time. And now he gets shoestring tackled every time, and it makes me sad.
Right. And Hurts did it great. And he just, yeah, you're right. He can't see downfield, and he doesn't have the legs to scramble anymore.
I think if they lost today, that would have been it. I think he goes to Stidham. He's like, I'm done. Right. But they end up squeaking it out.
Well, they'll lose this one.
Oh, here we go. We talked about it earlier. Ravens, Cardinals.
Let me check this.
A weird trend of the best game of the week. Or the best performance of the week, just shit in the bed the following week. I have Ravens by 7.5.
Yes, I win one. I said 9, it's 8.5. I mean, the Cardinals are going to do this twice. They're going to beat the Cowboys and the Ravens, and they're going to get the number one pick? Is that possible? Come on.
Well, I mean, isn't Carolina like...
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, they haven't won either, but they have the extra game.
But they don't have their pick, though.
The Cardinals don't have their pick? Carolina.
The Carolina doesn't.
Yeah.
Poopfecta, two games. One of them is the Jets and the Giants. I'm sorry. Jets-Giants games are usually at least a little bit fun. This is not. I'm putting this in the tic-tac zone. I have the Jets by 1.5.
I did, too. The Jets are a hefty 3-point favorite. At MetLife.
Wow.
I guess they're technically the road team,
even though they're not.
Right. That's tough. We don't have to bet that, do we?
Wait, we have to talk about the Jets here for a second.
So, let John Jastrzemski just bet the hell out of this. We don't have to bet it.
Jets. So they have the Giants this week. Home Chargers on a Monday night. At Las Vegas on a Sunday night.
Oh.
They could be 6-3 heading into at Buffalo on Sunday, November 19th. And then they play the Black Friday game against Miami on Friday, November 24th.
They play Vegas on a what? Why is Vegas getting so many primetime games? They have one this Monday. We saw them last week. When was this a good idea? There's just not enough good teams. There just aren't.
I don't understand it, my friend. All right. The other poopfecta game. It is Texans at Carolina.
Yeah.
This game, the Panthers are just an automatic poopfecta at this point. Mm-hmm. I think this is Texans by 3.5, and I'm going to bet the Texans.
I said the same thing. And don't let us down, Texans. I know you want to here, but
yeah.
Simmons and I just said we like you potentially to win the division. Don't go crap the bed at Carolina. Don't do it.
And I'm not going to be scared by the extra half point either. I'm betting the 3.5. I'm just good. Doing it.
Didn't you look into that? Like the 3.5s were...
Dead.
That was the way to go?
I looked into it. Although there's been some cover but not wins with the 3-unders the last couple of weeks. That's been pretty devastating. The Falcons had one. This week, the Browns.
Right.
They're favored by 3. They win by 1. Hate those. All right. I already clinched the week, but we have 2 left. Sunday night.
Killed me.
Sunday night is the worst Sunday night game we've had in a long time. Chargers-Bears, which I'm sure they were all excited about when they scheduled it. It was a Herbert and Fields. This will be great. Yeah. 2 of the young best quarterbacks in the league. This game sucks. They should flex it. It's even Collinsworth. They might have to like actually give him extra coffee so he has the proper Collinsworth excitement.
Justin Herbert. Show that picture of me when I was young again. Come on. You know what I'm doing.
Let's go to my son. What's he doing? Chargers, I have -6 against T-Bag and the Bears.
Oh, wow. I had 6.5. It's 9.5.
Oh, come on.
That's absurd.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Come on. This would be 60,000 Chicago fans.
I know. But there's no way we could bet the Bears again, right?
I just don't think the Chargers should be favored by more than 7 over anyone in the league. From what
I'm going the other way. Let's put the Chargers in every money line parlay.
But then
we're just done with them. Then if they beat us, we're like, well, that's it. We'll never ever speak of their name. Definitely not doing that.
Right. Monday night. Man, this is another stinker.
No. When was this a good game?
Detroit is home for Vegas. And I'm going to say Lions by 8.5.
You went a little rich there. I said 7. It's 7.5. Wait, hold on. 6. Yeah, I won. No, you won.
Lions 7.5, huh? That's too low in my opinion.
I feel like there's a teaser in there for us.
Especially Lions coming off a loss, embarrassing loss.
Right. Raiders are an embarrassing loss too, but they're always an embarrassing loss. Yeah. All right, you won. That's you're cutting it to 4-2-2. I hate this. I see how this is going. Let me call it up by Halloween.
Comeback?
Yeah.
How have you enjoyed the baseball playoffs?
I can't believe what the Astros are doing. I took both underdogs. I took the Rangers and I took the Diamondbacks. So I'll probably lose the Diamondbacks. But this, have you seen a team that can't win at home? The Astros are terrible at home, like in the whole regular season too.
I can't believe the Rangers even have a chance to go to the World Series with their bullpen. Hench and I are in that AL Keeper League, and we've had most of their bullpen this season. Like, we had Leclerc. We kept him. He lost his job. He couldn't get it back.
He drives me crazy.
We waived him. Like, he's out there closing giant games. I tweeted this on Friday night. I thought the Friday night game was the best baseball game I'd watched this decade.
The Altuve homer?
The pace of it. Yeah, the Altuve homer. There was the bench-clearing non-brawl, and just the... There was an energy to that game that was really fun, I thought.
Doesn't it bum you out?
The pitch clock helps.
For sure, yeah. Those would have been 5.5-hour games. But Altuve is going to be maybe the greatest postseason player of all time when it's all said and done.
The two guys that there's a bunch of guys now, especially in these playoffs, but Altuve and Schwarber, you just always feel like they're going to do something. Alvarez is like that. What's his face on the Rangers, the one who hit the homer tonight? But, Garcia.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. Raulis Garcia. Yeah. There's a lot of good boppers out there. I don't know what the Phillies are doing with Schwarber. Like, it goes again. Like, you have a leadoff hitter batting 204, but it doesn't matter.
I know.
47 those hits are home runs.
Playoffs. Yeah. Playoffs have been great. I've really enjoyed them.
That's good.
Phillies, Texas will end up having like a 16-15 type crazy game that goes 14 innings and homers and comebacks, and I'm still rooting for the Phillies because I have the World Series bet, which I don't really. I know.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Did you have any last minute NBA bets or no?
Yeah, I was gonna. Well, are we done? I was gonna promote.
No,
we
do Parent Corner in a second.
Yeah, because we have our preview. I mean, you did 17 hours of previews and forgot to pick the awards. I mean, what the hell? I'll throw you some samples. Austin Reeves, most improved, 18-1.
Like that.
Spider Mitchell, best clutch, whatever that clutch award is, 17-1. He goes right in there with those games. I think they had 45 games.
I vote for that award and I still don't understand what it is.
You better figure out what that is. Don't even think about it. Just vote for Spider Mitchell. And Clippers, no playoffs, I thought, +190.
I like that one. I like
that Stephen Adams. That Stephen Adams thing hurts, though, right? Hurts that bet now that came out.
No, because I'd be hard pressed to think the Grizzlies would just not make the playoffs. I also think they can make a trade because Robert Williams, Verno, and I were texting about today with House. Right, Portland's got Robert Williams. They're gonna trade into somebody for picks. So there's people out there they can get if they need to. Yeah, I didn't really do awards picks because I feel weird picking stuff when I vote on it.
Oh, that's true.
That does sound like a douche, but
too late. Way too late.
No, for the odds, I pointed this out when we did the preview. Booker was 22-1. And I just thought those were really good odds. That's fallen to 19-1. 19-1, I still think is solid for him.
But listen, Harry, God bless him. He picks guys like Booker every year, but those guys don't get votes. You have to get votes, right? It's so important.
The key would be if they were a one seed and he was like, you know, 30 points a game and running their offense and stuff. And Durant missed 25 games.
Winners, three seeds or lowers, right?
Yeah, it's tough. This is the first year I don't really have, out of like all the favorites, a guy that I love. I think Curry's as 14-1. I kind of like those odds too because I think Golden State's going to be good. Tatum seems too obvious at +750. Embiid's out. I don't think the Bucks are going to be good enough for Giannis to win MVP.
See, that's my pick, only because I think he's going to have to step it up and play defense because that was an offensive player for a defensive player, that trade, right? holiday.
Yeah, there's
for
weird vibes. I mean, that team just got rid of their lead assistant.
Yeah.
And then Joker sitting there at plus 432. The one that I think, you know, there's been heavy action on Wembanyama, who's minus 145 now.
Everybody. Yeah.
I watched a lot of that on Friday, that Warriors game. His odds that night for Defensive Player of the Year were 14-1. They're down to 12-1 now.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite bet is the one I sent you guys on Friday night. I don't know if that's changing.
Was
I think
it blocks. Vandals,
yeah, it's Wemby to win the blocks per game title with Curry mm-hmm. to win the made threes title. And if you parlay it together on FanDuel, it's like 8-1, and they have some parlay boosts for it. But
I thought
Curry made threes. Basically, he wins every year unless he gets hurt. So right. you're betting on you're almost betting on him not getting injured over whether
well,
he's going to
actually. What's the threshold? Is it 65 for this too, or no? Isn't
I think
it
it's
less?
55. So he's minus 150 for three pointers made.
Yeah,
and I think he only has to play 55 games to hit that. And then Wemby for blocks, that's still 4-1. I think that's I think he's, first of all, I think he should be the favorite. Yeah. I don't see any scenario where he doesn't block like 3.5-4 a game. Because right. did you see they're running, the Mavs had a practice where they were holding shit up in the air to try to emulate how big his reach is.
Interesting.
If he plays 30 minutes a game, he's going to get 3-4 blocks a game. So I thought the 4-1 for him was pretty great. And then,
yeah, it's just making if they play enough, it's the only thing you have to worry about with these rookies, right? For any of these qualifications.
I really like the Reeves most improved. I think that's a
Thank
good
you.
One because especially
you.
Like if LeBron misses 25-30 games because he's, you know,
did great in the World Cup
old.
Coming up. Right. Obviously his playoff numbers were like 3 points higher, and he's bringing the ball up the court this year. That's a win.
Six
what about
man.
I'll give you Jokic. I mean, you could bet these like the player awards, though, right? Because you're not. But like, I thought that was good value in Jokic for assist leader. I'm going to go with that plus 750. He's gone
so
up.
So we'd
almost
have to get
year.
Like 9.5 assists.
Yeah, 9.8. I mean, Halliburton was second. What Harden won it last year, but who even knows if he's going to make it through the year, right? And yeah, Jokic. I mean, it just goes up and up, and I could see him being even more unselfish. It's a good number, though.
People are going to laugh, but I kind of like Pritchard for sixth man of the year. But the thing is, they have Derek White eligible at sixth man of the year on FanDuel at 23-1. But I think he's going to start. They don't even have Pritchard odds. I think Pritchard's going to play a lot.
They screw with that, though, too much. It wasn't Westbrook like the top for that.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they made him a starter, they just took him off that. That wasn't fair.
Coach of the year. Dagnall on OKC at plus 750 is the favorite, and that's also my favorite one. And I also like, where's Quinn Snyder? Quinn Snyder is...
He's barefoot.
Wow.
Look for the
he's
feet.
He's way down there.
Where 20?
The fuck it?
20.
Yeah.
He's
20
in the
20s. To 1. Because if he turns Atlanta into like a 48-49 win team, which they have the talent, especially in a weaker conference, I think he's going to win it. So I thought those odds were too ridiculous too.
I'm excited a little bit for the year.
That Wemby blocks with the Curry made threes is my favorite. I can't believe that's 8-1. Yeah, we did a bunch of make the playoffs, miss the playoffs. I think the Mavs are going to suck. That's one of my ones like I'm banking on. And I like the Timberwolves.
Well, I bet the Mavs like the win Hawks. Total under instead of not making the playoffs, but I just feel like that karma's got to catch up with Cuban for quitting on the season last year. And they're just, they're old anyway. I don't know. They're both, I mean, could they, Luka and also they could be, they're done this year, right? They have to get new contracts? Yeah.
Well, Luka's there for a while, but I think he's got maybe a year or 2 years after this one.
Right.
The Celts Lakers to make the finals is 22-1. I thought that was pretty good too.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah, because the Lakers are going to be good. All right. It's time for... So you're doing all this. What show?
Doing it. This will be on Tuesday on Against All Odds. And we have Coach PJ Carlesimo is joining us too.
Great. Today's Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. As any parent knows, there's always two things we can't get enough of, and that's time and money. That's why CarMax is making it fast and easy to get pre-qualified for your next car. You can get personalized items and shop within your monthly budget with no impact to your credit score. Save time. Start shopping for a car you love and get pre-qualified today. CarMax, the way car buying should be. See details at CarMax.com. What do you got, Sal?
All right. So I was in Oregon. You could see by the hat this weekend. Went there Friday. It's Parents Weekend. He's only been there a month, by the way, and it's already Parents Weekend. So the plan is get there, maybe get lunch, dinner, and then we don't really see him. We go to the game, but he's going to go to the game, the Oregon-Washington State game with his friends. So maybe we get to say goodbye. So get to lunch. He fills us in. He's having a great time. And you don't realize how much freedom you have in college. Like our kids could sit on the couch and be on their phones and order DoorDash all day. I'm like, oh, you got the world. You know,
yeah,
it's crazy. No, college is a whole different story. It's like I got like 10 friends. They're all on the floor. We go all over the place. We all have nicknames. It's like, oh, that's great. It really hit me. And it was good catching up. And then we go to dinner with his friends and the friend's parents who were there. Lovely time. I ate my face off. We're like a Chinese dumpling house. I'm like, I don't care. And Melissa's
in
like,
Portland,
please.
I heard the dumplings are great in Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah. She's like, don't eat like a monster. I'm like, no, I'm doing it. I don't care. So I embarrassed everybody. And then we have the game and we're separate from him. He's in the student section and my wife buys these chip clips. We went through his room and she noticed he needed like chip clips. Like if you have an open bag of Doritos and you know, I'm explaining chip clips. You know what it is. It just clips right on. And so she brings them to the game and she's like, all right, we got to find them. I'm like, yeah, we have to find them before we, you know, say goodbye. He's like, oh, it's going to be, then it's like tough for him to meet us to say goodbye. I'm like, oh, no, we got to go. We got to give him these clips. We can't just leave with these chip clips. And so it's a real hassle to chase him down and for him to meet us out of the student section and for us to say goodbye. We could have just called and said goodbye and texted, but we got to give him this chip clips. And so when he's saying goodbye to us, he's like, all right, bye. And Melissa's like, take these, put these in your jacket, put these here. Okay. All right. Do you have enough? Do you have enough room? We'll take the cardboard off and then you could fit this. And I could just see he's like rolling his eyes internally on us. And he finally like hugs us and say goodbye. And I'm like, oh my God, we just turned into our parents there. We're forcing chip clips on him. it took a month. It was a month and we're already our parents. Like, no, you got it. My mother's done this to me a million times. Take this quiche, take everything, all the stuff that we don't really need. She's left us with stuff. And that was it. Like the nightmare's here. The thing I worried about the most, we're forcing chip clips on him when we didn't even, at a freaking football game, he's got to carry these things around.
We all turn into our parents.
It's crazy. It took 4 weeks.
Well, the good news is he got some chip clips.
Yeah. He's not going to eat any stale Funyuns anymore.
Those things, like two more days now of life with those $1.98 chips that he bought.
I know.
The student center.
74 cents if he went to Target.
Pop chips might have gone stale if he didn't find them.
We are pathetic.
Did she cry?
No, she was good. No, she needed this. This was good for her. Really was in sync well with her premenopausal state. I thought it went well.
I actually flew back and saw my daughter.
You did.
To a couple of soccer games. And I took her and her friends out to PF Chang's after the Wednesday game. And it was the same thing. It was like, oh, she's got all these people in her life that she didn't know 6-7 weeks ago. And they have all these jokes. And I'm just this parent that comes in and out that... They like seeing me, but not for too long. And then you don't hear from them. And it's just funny. It definitely takes some adjusting to be like, oh, I'm that person now. I just kind of float in and out of your life. And when you need me, you need me. That's great, though. I accept it. I accept my job. We're like, I don't know. It's like we're like dime cornerbacks where it's like, oh, it's 3rd and 12. Get in there. And then we go in and we just try to play our zone for one play and then we kind of get out.
Interesting.
That's what we do when we're parents in college.
Wow.
My parent corner. So my wife, you know, we had four dogs. And then our dog Willie, when my wife's dad died and her mom was by herself, so we gave her our dog Willie for a couple weeks and then they just hit it off and she ended up, Willie just... kind of stayed there and he's an only child in our house. He's super happy, loves it. And so we had the three dogs left. We have Olivia, who's like 15, who's going to be dying for the next 20 years. I always tell her to go to the light, but she doesn't listen to me. She's just never going to die. Then we have Jessie, the rescue dog, who's just a mess. She's just kind of disappears all day. And then Murph, who I've talked about many times, who's a lunatic, right, who has his own Instagram account. So her mom went away for a couple of weeks. So Willie came back, and Willie's living with us now for 2 weeks, and he hasn't lived with us for pretty much like a year. And it's kind of gone great. Like, he's fit in, and I was thinking it's like a TV show when somebody leaves the show, like when John Travolta would leave Welcome Back, Kotter, a million years ago when we were growing up, and they replaced, but then he would come back for the special episode, be like, hey, it's Barbarino, he's back. Yeah. Or like when Ron Howard would come back, the shows we grew up with, people would leave and then they would come back. I don't know if that happens anymore because the show runs aren't long enough, but it was always nice when they came back, and it's nostalgic. So now Willie's here. I know he's not going to be here for that long, but it's like special guest appearance. Like, he's in the Love Boat anchor, special guest appearance by Willie. And he's just kind of, he's sleeping in our room. He's like fighting for spots on the bed. So this led to a big debate because, as you know, dogs are stupid. Mm-hmm. Does Willie remember that he didn't live here, or does he think he lived here the whole time?
Ooh.
Because he was gone for a year, but he's back. And now it's like he never left. So does he have a memory of being in the last place? Like, how smart are dogs? It's basically a big discussion in our house right now.
I think it depends a little bit. Mine is really, really dumb. I feel like he wakes up and every day it's like he was plopped on this earth. Like, really, like, yeah, he can't get to the front door. He has to figure out how to negotiate which room to enter to exit the front door. So my dog, really dumb. But then you'll see them like sniff all over and piss on things. So it's like they're marking their territory. Right. So there's some thought process in that. But
yeah, that's,
I don't
all,
think they're very smart. Yeah.
That's all instinctive, because you could make a case dogs have no long-term memory at all. Because when you leave the house and you come back 4 hours later, the way they react, they have no idea how long you were gone. They can't believe you came back.
Yeah.
But that can also happen if you're gone for 10 minutes. Like, I'll walk out, I'll go to move my car, you know, and because the parking meter person, I got to move my car, switch sides. So I'll leave and I'll come back like 6 minutes later and Murph's reacting like I've been gone for 10 hours. So I don't know if dogs have a long-term memory.
Yeah, I think there's
like
a comedian.
From the listeners on this.
There's a comedian that does something about this. Like, when your dog jumped in the car and you took him to get his ball snipped, the most, the worst moment of his life. And then 3 days later, he jumps back in the car just as excited. Like, no, wouldn't that be a little bit of caution?
Right. He would think,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's, that let's, machine. That's yeah, where the worst, this over. The worst thing that ever happened. Yeah. Right. So I don't know. So then Willie, so he's going to be here for 2 weeks, and then he'll go back with my mother-in-law. And I don't know if he'll be confused. I think he'll remember her. But yeah, we spent. Dogs, have you seen the stats about how there's like, I don't know, three times as many dogs as there used to be, like, owned by people?
Is
and
that
walk
true?
Around. Yeah, it's like the dog population is skyrocketing and everything else is down.
Yeah.
But we spend so much time with these dogs and protecting dogs and whatever. And I still feel like we don't totally understand how smart they are and what they can remember or retain.
I think I don't know. I guess you have to go by with the reaction when he goes back, right?
Well, you ever seen those? They have those dog Instagram videos where it's like somebody returns home from serving their country and it's their dog that hasn't seen them for 3 years, and the dog is fucking crazy and it's like super emotional. So obviously they have some sort of memory.
Those are smart dogs. Yeah, right.
But do they think the guy was gone for 3 years or like 3 hours?
Mm.
I just don't know what a dog's sense of time is.
Maybe they're really good actors. Yeah. Like the cousin on Brady Bunch, who is making the same appearance, right? What was it, Oliver?
Cousin Came Oliver.
In? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We're just crushing it with completely dated TV references.
Sorry. I mean, at least that's 45
years old. No, it's my fault, too. I was bringing up Welcome Back, Kotter.
There's no new shows on, right?
I could have gone 90s shows. It would have been fun.
Look, I could talk chip clips till we're blue in the face, but I don't know this dog stuff.
Jacko tweeted about some show, NCIS Sydney.
Uh-huh.
And it's Australian NCIS. And I thought he was kidding, but then I Googled it and it's a real show on Paramount Plus Australia. And it's basically NCIS, but everybody has an Australian accent, but it's all the same beats.
Wow.
And that was on a flight for 6 hours yesterday, watching watching DirecTV and Googling weird shit like NCIS Sydney.
Maybe they shouldn't have settled the strike if it were up to NCIS Sydney.
Go back on strike.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sorry this went off the rails. That was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. With CarMax, you can pre-qualify in as little as 5 minutes with no impact to your credit score. You can shop a nationwide inventory with your personalized monthly budget. With all the time and money you'll save, maybe you'll plan your next family road trip, even if it's just around the block. CarMax, the way car buying should be. See details at CarMax.com. Yo, what happened? Did Archie have a car or didn't have a car?
He did. It's still here. We have to move it like every 8 hours for the street sweepers. So yeah, he didn't bring it up. But,
you should hire Brad to like steal it. Be like, I don't know, Archie, it's gone.
It's gone? And then sell it to CarMax? By the way, back to the dog and cars. Not that this would happen with any CarMax car, but my dog was hit by a car in Mexico and then we rescued him or whatever. And he still, if he gets free, still runs right for the spinning wheels. Like if there's, so yeah,
can't
dumb.
Resist.
Dumb as shit.
He's intoxicated by the smell of exhaust.
Yeah.
All right, cuz. So what do you got coming?
We
you
got
Against All Odds NBA Preview Tuesday.
We'll do that. Couple up more episodes during the week. Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend Friday, 10 a.m. on FanDuel TV and Through the Ringer with Tate Frazier. You'll see that Tuesday morning on FanDuel TV.
Wise Guys was great again today. And we might see our friend James Baby Doll Dixon tomorrow.
Let's do it. We got to run up the bill.
Hopefully it will run up the bill. Hopefully we'll have some stories. All right, cuz. As always, good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Kyle Creighton and Steve Cerruti for producing. Thanks to the cuz. Don't forget, new rewatchables coming on Monday night. I will see you on this feed on Tuesday. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. You can call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. Call 1-888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.